psalm we read earlier on. Psalm 71, please. You may notice in Psalm 71 there's no heading. There seems to be no author attributed to this particular psalm. But if you read Psalm 70, which is just five verses, you find there it's entitled "To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David, to bring to remembrance." And many scholars think that where there's a particular psalm with no author, an orphan psalm as they call them, the good hint would be to the previous psalm or psalms around it. And as we know, this second part of the Psalter is entitled "The Psalms of David." The majority of these psalms are authored by David. There's just one or two which are not. And the previous psalm speaks of David there. Psalm 72 is again by David. And that brings the book 2 of the book of Psalms to an end. You may or may not know the book of Psalms is divided into 5 books, which mirror the first 5 books of the Old Testament. And there are lots of analogies which are drawn from those first 5 books that we find here in the Psalms. Psalm 71, as you are probably well aware, speaks of old age. And it's, you know, that's you and me, to be honest, isn't it? We're in our old age. I don't feel old sometimes. I feel like I'm 21 still in my mind, but when I start to do the things of a 21-year-old, my body says, no, you can't do that no more. You need to slow down. So this is a psalm where David is looking back over his life. He says there in verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." In verse 18, "Now also when I am old and grey headed, O God, forsake me not until I showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." So there's these hints there, these picture language which suggests to us that David's looking back over his past. He's an old man now. He's been through many trials and tribulations. And he wants to encourage himself, and he wants to encourage you and me in his God. And this psalm is a psalm of encouragement as we get old. And so as we get old and we lose our friends and we lose our faculties and we lose our strength, David wants to remind you that God never loses those things. He is consistent. He's strong and faithful. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's never going to abandon us. You know, we said farewell to Pat Johnson on Wednesday. It's the way of all flesh. Our friends, they die. Our loved ones, they die. They're taken from us. But God never. He will never be taken from us. He is that consistent companion. And David wants us to realise that this morning. And through these words, he wants to encourage our hearts in God. And it's a psalm where he looks back to the past. It's a psalm where he looks to the present. It's also a psalm where he looks to God, who's never going to forsake him. And it's a psalm which looks at the past and the future. So it's the whole gambit of David's life, the whole gambit of your life and my life. And for those of you who've been brought up as young children, you've been blessed, you know, you've been taken to chapel, to church, and maybe you fought against it, and maybe you resented it. But as you look back now, you bless God for it. Alex Mutier, in his very helpful little book on the Psalms, speaks about when he was just a young lad. Obviously, at a time when he can remember, he was sent to his maternal grandmother. He fought just for the weekend. And 7 years later, he finally went home to be with his parents. Wow. But he said, through that period of time, the greatest thing that happened to me was a love for the Bible. His maternal grandmother taught him from the scriptures. And as a young man, a young boy, he looked back as an old man, say, those were good days. And you can do that as well. We can do that. I never had the privilege of coming up in a Christian family, but I can look back and I can see God's hand upon me right from the beginning. That's what David does here. He looks back. Verse 6, by thee I've been holding up from the womb. Thou he that took me out of my mother's bowels, my praise shall be continually of thee. I'm a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honour all the day. David, right there in those verses, is telling us, even before he was born, God's hand was upon him. Even before his mother gave birth, God set his love upon David. And we, likewise, can echo that. God has set his love upon each and every one of us. When? Before the foundation of the world. We were in God's heart, we were in his mind. He had an eye toward us. And look at you, look at me, who are we? We're nobodies. I see no kings or empires here. No queens, no duchies, no dukes. I see no presidents. We're just ordinary people. And yet God has set his love upon you before the foundation of the world. Isn't that a wonder of grace? Isn't that a wonder of God's mercy? Who are we? We're but worms of the dust. And yet the King sets his favour upon us, even before we were born. By thee I've been holding up from the womb. I've been sustained. I've been kept. And all through your life, God has kept you to this present day, to this present moment. And so David can say, with confidence, in verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Because this God never changes. He is the only true and wise God. Dear friend, I'm going to ask you this question. I need to ask this question of you. Have you put your trust in this God? This God that David knows. In thee, O Lord, Adonai. He's referring to the Lord as his master. The word there, Lord, is in capitals. So it's Lord Adonai. He says his master. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Who have you put your trust in today, friend? Is your trust in your spouse? In your employment? In your bank account? In your abilities? In your gifts? What you can do for God? David says no. Remembering, he was a king. He had all those resources. It all that mighty power, and yet he does not put his trust in those things. He puts his trust in God. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? You see, it's personal. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Where is your trust this morning? Even as Christians, we can be tempted away from trusting all we have to the Lord. We can be weaned away. The devil's so subtle, isn't he? He's a master of craft. He knows our weak points. And he can chip away. A little bit. And all of a sudden you think, how did I get here? David, he exercises trust. And he has a means to keep that trust alive. He has a means to keep that iron in the fire so it doesn't grow cold. Where are we trusting this morning, friends? David says, in his old age, in our old age, are we saying, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? When we put our trust in man, they always fail us. They always disappoint us. I disappoint my wife. I disappointed my wife this morning, actually. I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law. He's not a believer. And our granddaughter was there as well in this conversation. And she said to me, well, Granddad, what does it mean to be a Christian? And my main conversation was with my brother-in-law. And I very simply, I thought, explained very quickly to Millie what it was to be a Christian. And I thought I did quite well, to be honest. And my wife said to me, "That's an interesting conversation, but I've got one criticism." I said, "What's that?" "You gave a very poor description of a Christian to Millie." Bah! Pop my bubble. I was so disappointed. So don't put a trust in your husband, your spouse, your wife, your bank account, your friends, your family. Trust in God. He's never going to disappoint us. He's never going to let us down. He's not going to say to you, "Well, maybe he will do. That was a poor show." But you get my point, don't you? David's trust was in the Lord. And he trusts him, and so he can say to him, "Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me." Save him from what? From his enemies. From those who seek to destroy him. And Psalms 70, 68, 69, and others are full of the enemies of David, who are continually bombarding him and attacking him verbally, physically. Absalom, his son, pursues to kill him. Then there are those who chip away at his authority, and they come to a point where they think they can overcome him. "For my enemies," verse 10, "speak against me, and they that lay in wait for my soul take counsel together." And this is what they said: "God hath forsaken him." And we can feel that way sometimes. They had the perception, David in his old age, that as he was old and weak, that God had forsaken him. God had forsaken him. This is the opportunity. Persecute him. Take him. There is none to deliver him. And David was feeling that pressure. And I think we can feel that pressure as well as Christians. There are times, do you not? You need to be honest with ourselves. Because God knows everything. He knows our hearts, our thoughts, our feelings. We do feel at times that God has forsaken us. We do feel that God is distant. He's not hearing our prayers. As we bring our petitions, you know, the heavens feel like they're brass. We just don't seem to be getting through. And we have that, Satan will come to us, you know, "Is God really there? He's so subtle. God's forsaken you. Persecute, take him down." But again, David has that confidence and trust in God. He has that confidence God will deliver him, because he's looking back. God has delivered him in past days. Verse 3, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort." We recited that hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me." This is where David resides. This is the place where he longs to be. "Be thou my strong habitation," that strong fortress, that strong tower. "Be thou my strong habitation." It's personal. "Whereunto I may continually," that's a key word in the psalm, "that I may continually reside, inhabit, resort." Is that your habit? Do you continually desire to be in the bosom of God the Father? To reside there and not to leave? This was David's desire. "Has given commandment, thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." This is where David's put all his confidence and trust, in this God. This God who in the Old Testament there was that rock which was smitten by Moses' rod, and the water poured forth. This is the place where David longs to be. In the very heart of God. An interesting phrase there, he says, "But I may continue resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me." Thou hast given commandment to save me. Do you know our times are in his hand? COVID may kill you. Influenza, cancer, they may take you. But it's all in God's time. Not one minute earlier will you be taken from this scene. All our times are in his hands. And I know we're not glad of that. We don't need to fear. We need to be Careful and cautious, yes. But you're not going to die before your time. Until God says, come up hither. And we long for those words, do we not? Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast commanded, has given command. There is a time set. There's a place. And there's the means set for our demise. Psalm 68 and verse 20. Similar thought. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto our God belongeth the issues of death. Death. He appoints death. Their time is pointed. And until that time, God has commanded, has given that commandment that we shall live. And we live to his praise and to his glory. So we do not fear death. Death has no fear for the Christian. Maybe we have fear in a way we will die, but death itself, that sting has been taken away through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And David encourages his soul in that truth. Deliver me, he says, oh my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Who that is, we do not know. But there were those, as we were intimated, who were unrighteous and cruel in their pursuit for David. Again, he encouraged his heart, even in those trials and difficulties. Verse 5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. He's looking back. He's looking back to the fields there in Bethlehem, where he cared for his father's flock. He slew the lion and the bear, and he put his hand in the hand of God to deliver him. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men, for thou art my hope. Christian, is your hope in this God? And the hope of David is God. Thou art my hope. Everything else is hopeless. We have a government that appears to be hopeless. It's tossed to and fro by every wind of science, not doctrine, denies doctrine, but our hope is in God. Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou hast been my trust from my youth. And again, if you've been a Christian from your youth, thank God for it. Thank God for the blessings. You sat on your father's knee, you read his Bible stories, narrative, and taught you the ways of God. What blessings they are. What blessings we have to give to our grandchildren to share these truths. But they may, with David, look back in their old age to their youth when they sat on grandma or grandpa's lap and instructed in the word of God. They're true blessings. And we should be thankful for them. Because this is what sustains David. It's not all his wealth and his influence. It's the fact of God and God's goodness. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. That he that took me out of my mother's bowels, my praise shall be continually with thee. That's the second time continually he's appeared in this psalm. Because of what God has been to him, because of what he's proved God to be to him, he says, my praise shall be continually of thee. This is why we are created, isn't it? What's the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Continually bringing in that sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And this was David's habit. He has his habit of residing in the presence of God. He has his habit of continually praising God. So we have two helps in this psalm for us already this morning. Continual habitation in the presence of God and continually praising him for his goodness and for his mercies. And so in verse 7, he can say with confidence, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Now that word there, wonder, in the Hebrew can be taken either in a positive or negative, and I want to take it as a positive. Do you know people are watching you? They see you come and go. They know your habits. Hopefully they know your character. They know your position. And some will probably say, they are a wonder. They are a wonder. Some of you are a wonder to me. You know, the way God has kept you and blessed you and encouraged you. And through that testimony, you don't say much in that sense, but it's a wonder, isn't it? We should be a wonder to the unbeliever. And we should be a wonder to one another. You know, we go through trials and difficulties and hardships. And some of them are really hard. We cannot diminish, you know, the gravity of them. And Lord sends trial upon trial upon trial upon us. And yet He keeps us. He sustains us. And people, they wonder, how is it they can still stand? How is it they can be still trusting in their God? And I think this is what David means here. I am a wonder unto many. We should be a wonder unto many. We should be a wonder that God has kept us. And He does keep us. But thou art my strong refuge. There's the secret for David. That's the secret for the Christian. This continual presence in the presence of God. This continual praise. This continual residing in that strong refuge. Let my mouth, verse 8, be filled with thy praise and with thy honour all the day. Oh, I can't praise God all day, I'm too busy. No, that's true. We can't praise God all day, but we can live in that sense of praise and thanksgiving. We can live in the sense of His presence all the day. And David, if David can do it, we can do it. He was a king. People were coming for him for judgment, for advice. He has wars to fight, and yet he can still bring his praise and worship all the day to his God. Verses 9 to 11, he speaks of this God who is an unforsaking God. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay in wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Oh, there is one to deliver, and he's mighty to deliver. It's David's God. You see, the world does not account for God. God does not come into the equation. Yet David has his firm confidence that God will never forsake him. I'm not quite sure, I read somewhere many years ago that promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is the most quoted promise in our Bible. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even though we may feel He does, He never does. It's only us who draw away from Him. That's why we feel this sense of abandonment, that God has forsaken us. In verse 12 he says, O God, be not far from me, my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed by their adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered in reproach and dishonour that seek my hurt. Verses 12 to 16, David's recounting God's commitment. This God of hope. This God who gives strength. This God who is reliable. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonour that seek my hurt. And through that difficulties and those painful experiences David has, in verse 14, he can make that emphatic statement. Verse 14, but, I love the buts of the Bible, you've heard that before, haven't you? But I will hope for today? For tomorrow? No. But I will hope continually. That's the third continually in this psalm. So he continually resides in the presence of God. He continually praises God, and he continually hopes in God. And Christian, where is your hope? David says, but despite all that's against me, despite all the opposition of the foes, despite all their accusations, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. He'll praise him more and more. He's already praising God all the day, and yet he makes that commitment, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth, he says, show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. All the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. Again, alluding to that previous verse. Thou hast given commandment to save me. At times you're in his hands. And David's commitment is to make this salvation known. All the days. For he does not know how many days he has to make it known. He wants to be that faithful servant. He wants to be that faithful witness. That's part of his hope. It's part of his expectancy. It's part of resorting in God's presence. It's part of the result of his continual praise before God. He has this desire to make his God known. All the day. He does not do it in his own strength. Notice that in Psalm 71:16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. In the Lord God. So he's a man who's reliant upon God's strength alone. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. God in his mercy gives us an opportunity, doesn't he not? To speak of him. To speak of his grace and his love and mercy. To speak of the Saviour. To speak of Jesus Christ. And David, even though he didn't know Jesus as we know him, he knew God the Father. So we have a greater revelation. We have more good news to proclaim to this world. And thank God that he gives us opportunities to speak of him. And we need that courage, don't we? We need to stir one another up to be faithful witnesses in this day and generation. All that's against us. The world, the flesh and the devil. We need to be faithful. It's what God calls us to be faithful. And this psalm there is speaking of that faithfulness that David had in his God, and of the opportunities to declare that faithfulness. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. There's only one righteousness. There's only one Saviour. There's only one righteous one. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, who comes with healing in his wings. And this is the one that David wants to make known. Even of thine only. It's exclusive, you see. Again, those verses come to mind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Every other God is nothing. They are nothing. Thine only. And that's what we're called to declare. And that's not popular. You're going to be hounded. If you stand and declare this truth, the world and the flesh will be against you. Satan will be against you. That's why he says, but I will hope continually in his God. Where's your hope? Is it continual hope? Remember, he's talking to those of grey hair. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. Now when I'm old and grey, grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed my strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. I've often said to younger Christians, you being in church is an encouragement to the older generation. Because they look back and see there is hope for the church. And I said, And you can look at the older generation and take hope that God has sustained them and kept them over many, many years. So you're mutually building one another up. And that's what David's saying here. But now also when I'm old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed my strength unto this generation. The older ones are to come alongside to the younger ones to encourage them and to teach them in the things of God. That's what the New Testament tells us. The older men come alongside the younger men. The older women alongside the younger women. But we may show by strength unto this generation. One commentator says, the church is only one generation away from extinction. There's a lot of truth in that, humanly speaking. But Jesus says, the church will prevail. Even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church, Christ's beloved bride, will stand glorious and victorious through every generation. And yes, we are small, and we feel our smallness. We feel our old age. And yes, like you, I fear for the future of churches in our country. Where are the young people? These are honest fears, aren't they? That should drive us, sisters and brothers, to prayer. That God will raise up young men. And thankfully God is raising up young men. And we just need to expand our vision to what God is doing. And yes, they are hard, difficult days. Yes, we feel the pressure. Yes, we're concerned for tomorrow, for the church. But it's God's church. And He'll never fail her. He'll never forsake you. He'll never abandon her. I am with you always until the end of the world, He says. Oh God, forsake me not. It's impossible. God cannot forsake us until I've showed my strength unto this generation and my power to everyone that is to come. The time is almost gone. I just want to give you a story. Early church father, Polycarp. He was brought up to know and trust Christ. He was a leader of the early church. And the Roman emperor at the time declared that every man must pay homage to me, burn incense to my statue. And Polycarp, as an old man, says, I will not do that. How can I deny my Lord and my Saviour? How can I deny the one who's cared for me and sustained me and kept me? It's been my hope and my trust and my confidence. The one who's been my God. How can I deny my God in such a way? And his friends, they came to him and said, it's only a small thing. It's only a small thing. Just to burn some incense. It's no big deal. Just a small thing. No, he says, away with you. I will not deny my master. And the penalty for not doing so was death. And he gladly accepted death in his old age, rather than deny his Saviour. Because he had proven that his God had been faithful to him through those years. So why should he be unfaithful to his God in those closing moments? Polycarp, what an example. You see, he was Christ's slave. We began there, in thee, O Lord, Adonai, Master. He lived as a slave of Christ. We are called to live as his slaves. Verses 19 and 24 really they speak of this God who is the God of the future. In thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God. Who is like unto thee? Thou hast showed me great and sore troubles. Shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. He's looking to heaven. He's looking to resurrection. Many commentators say that the resurrection is not seen in the Psalms. I think they're many examples of that in the book of Psalms. Thou shalt bring me again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou holy one of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing of thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame, that seek my hurt. And David has looked back on his life, he's looked back before he was born, he's looked back to when he was born, he's looked back to the hills of Bethlehem when he was kept, and when God kept him as the king of Israel, and now he looks to the future. This is his same God. This God who is a sovereign protector. This God who has David in his heart and in his mind. And David rejoices. And he says there again, verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. Again, reiterating what he's already said. And when the word of God points something out to us once, we should listen. When he points it out a second time, we should take heed. And when he speaks a third time, as he does in other places, it's very important. And this is an important principle. My tongue also shall talk about righteousness all the day long. It's the Lord's Day. Blessed Lord's Day. Bush reminded me, back room, it's not the Lord's hour. It's not the Lord's 2 hours. It's the Lord's Day. This is a day when we should be talking all day long about the Lord. We should be doing that all through the week. Every opportunity we come together, we should be talking about the Lord. That encourages us, that builds up our faith and our hope and our confidence in God. As we share what God has done with us, it encourages us. And I trust that maybe through this week, you get a visit, and that's difficult, or a phone call, but you will speak well of your God. Encourage one another in our God. Encourage the younger ones. Encourage ourselves in this God. For he is our God and our Father.